Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Bunty, welcome back. Welcome back to our listeners as well. This is our second episode we are doing today, which is Sunday, the 19th of August. So we just, you know, finished talking about the legacy of Atal Bihari Vajpayee. On to other things. You know, Vajpayee also did take a step forward in India-Pakistan relations. And I think it's safe to say that India-Pakistan relations since then have deteriorated, at least in the last few years, notwithstanding Modi's gesture of, you know, unannounced flying down and, you know, on Nawaz Sharif's birthday and gifting Nawaz Sharif's mother a couple of, you know, saris, which I think was, for all its showmanship, I think there was a, you know, there's an element of decency there. So what's happened in Pakistan that Imran Khan has become PM? Navjot Singh Sidhu, who's a Congress, who joined the Congress recently, was invited to the ceremony. He sat next to the president of Pakistan-occupied Kashmir, got a lot of flack from the nationalistic press for it, and he also hugged the army chief, and there's been a lot of hullabaloo about that, including, I was just looking, the Punjab CM, Amrinder Singh, saying that he shouldn't have done it. Sidhu has said, yeah, I've done nothing wrong, and Sidhu's got a lovely name, Sherry on top, because I think his nickname was Sherry. So, you know, Sherry on top. Anyway, never mind. Mildly obscene jokes come to mind, but I'll just bite my tongue on that. You know, Shekhar Gupta, the editor of Print and the very well-known journalist, has actually written a very good piece saying that this is a lot of nationalistic silliness. And he's gone.
Sidhu is a cricketer who's known for murdering people.
Culpable homicide not amounting to murder.
Culpable homicide, so okay. That, okay.
Road rage.
This is a road rage incident. So, I think that, you know, Sidhu's three aspects. One is batsman.
Yeah. Right?
Second is murder or culpable, whatever we are calling it. And the third is he keeps changing parties, right? At one point, he was a BJP, like Shatrughan Sinha. Huh. I had him down in the BJP camp. So all of a sudden, he's joined Congress now.
I think before the last elections, and the Congress is, Punjab is really the last sort of big state which the Congress is ruling. And then they have, what, are they in any other state? They have those, like, you know, some of those like shady, precarious kind of coalitions where the minority party makes a government. The BJP has also done it. So I think right before those elections, he came in. And I think he's, you know, he's an opportunist in a sense, because I think the Badals, who were allies of the BJP, they were up to, you know, they were up to no good. I mean, massive corruption, exploitation, and Punjab has been devastated by a drug epidemic. I remember that, you know, it was always a very prosperous state. I don't know what it's like now. It's been a few years since I traveled through it. And apparently the allegation, at least, is that the Badal family, which was ruling Punjab, they had, you know, they were part of the drug trade. So he kind of, you know, saw which way the wind was blowing. Sidhu had a very famous remark called, you know, his commentary used to be insane, right? He said that wickets are like wives, you never know which way they'll turn. And I think with we can sort of make that with Sidhu to qualify that Sidhu is smart. He'll always turn in whichever way the wind is blowing.
So Sidhu is now, say, Congress. So he gets to Pakistan because Imran clearly has called him over as a cricketing buddy. Huh. Were there any other cricketers who accepted or were invited? Because, you know, Imran played with Kapil Dev and Sunil Gavaskar. Why Sidhu? Why do you think Sidhu took up the invite?
I don't know. I mean, there was some minor, like, useless non-controversy because these channels are always trying to whip up controversy, right? You remember when Sridevi died a few months ago? Like, there was a lot of idiocy about, you know, guys getting into bathtubs, trying to, like, recreate the scene. There was some awaj about how Sunil Gavaskar was invited, but Gavaskar apparently said that, you know, my country comes first, I will never go. And then Rajdeep Sardesai, and I think Rajdeep knows Gavaskar through, obviously, the, you know, cricket connection, and they also know each other through the Bombay Gym connection is what I'm guessing. And Rajdeep says that, you know, it's all rubbish. Gavaskar's point was that I'm not going because of, you know, these jingoistic reasons. I'm not going because I have some other commitment. But I don't know about Kapil Dev. Let me, you know, while we are at it, just see this.
Because Kapil Dev and Imran Khan were Kapil, Imran and Ian Botham and Hadley. They were the four people who at that point of time were class, they were the kind of all-rounder brigade. Huh. So they were not fast bowlers, but and Imran was the quickest of the lot.
Right.
And the most glamorous of the lot, you know. So I'm just surprised that Sidhu took up on the invitation. I think Sidhu, probably being a kind of canny operator, realized that for him to go to the Pakistan thing, he just had to kind of cross the gate and drive over. Where the others, there was some kind of substantial flying involved, and the costs were humongous.
You know, sorry. So two things. I'm going to start with what you said. First, an uncle of mine used to notice how Sidhu was a very, very lazy fielder. Like, he would notice that, you know, sometimes if in India, there'd be a test series in the summer and it'd be like, you know, super hot, 41, 42. There would always be a part of the stadium that, just because of the way the sun was positioned, would be in the shade. And he said that, you know, Sidhu would always be there. And anytime the ball came, like, you would see this painful look on Sidhu's face. So you're right that, you know, it may have been easy for him. Now, with regard to Kapil, it's interesting that there's, again, these contradictory narratives that there are some papers like Times Now, which is A, insisting that Sunil Gavaskar didn't attend because of nationalistic reasons. And their argument is that, like Sunil Gavaskar, Kapil didn't go for nationalistic reasons. But there's some other publication, NewsX, which says that Kapil says he can't go for personal reasons. I'll say this, though, that, you know, Sidhu's visit may pave the way for the Sikh community of India to be able to visit a very, holy and revered Gurdwara in Pakistan now. So that might be some good that comes off it.
Chalo, that's a good thing. Again, I think the other thing that we need to pick on is what we make of Imran Khan's chances of kind of raising the game and the governance game in Pakistan. Because, you know, much as we don't like to do jingoistic nonsense on our chats, my sense is Pakistan is borderline failed state with nuclear power, with the army hovering about any kind of democratic government.
Right.
So this is the third time they flipped over on the basis of an election, which is a novelty for those guys. So obviously, wish him all the best that he can run it. I think his choice of guests for his inauguration, Sidhu, case in point, is not a good start. I think he should have asked for some better level of cricketers to attend his inauguration. But I don't know. But then again, hats off to Sidhu for kind of picking up on the invite, grabbing it with both hands, and doing what he needs to do, which is stay in the limelight, given that a lot of time has passed since he last played cricket or provided some of his silly commentary. I think we wish Imran Khan and the Tehreek-e-Insaf party all the best in this forging a new Pakistan. And if it means that the interrelationship between Pakistan and India improve, then what's cricket aside, that's a fantastic thing. You know, we hope they become a prosperous and healthy trading partner rather than kind of this bizarre, psychotic, fanatical nation that's on the cusp of failure, living hand to mouth. That's all I've got to say about them.
Yeah, I have a few thoughts. I mean, it's interesting that Imran has managed to, you know, travel this distance. I think Salman Rushdie wrote, perhaps, or someone else, that he was in Oxford, where he had, I don't know whether he was able to go to Oxford because he came from a very wealthy family or as a cricketing scholarship, because obviously he's, you know, enormously talented as a cricketer. But he was called Im the Dim. Now, you know, you can say that that doesn't portend well, but it's not as if, you know, every politician we've had in any of the subcontinental states has you know, they've not necessarily been the brightest bulbs in the socket. I mean, Modi has an animal kind of intelligence and political cunning, but his knowledge about economics, etc., his domain knowledge about anything beyond staying in power is actually very poor. Sherry on top, or Sidhu grabbed this catch. He didn't, you know, drop the ball, so that was good. The thing that distresses me is that, you know, Imran Khan was known as this, again, this is a kind of, there's a morality to it. He was this international playboy or whatever, as someone called him, which again, to me, is this bizarre category. It's a meaningless term. It's his personal life. But what's happened is he started playing this religious game, right, to cultivate the mullahs in Pakistan. And he obviously has the backing of the army as well. So those are the, you know, various pieces on the chessboard. But he's also not been, I think he's not come out strongly enough about the attacks, first on Ahmadis, who are treated as heretics, and then on Shias, and then on Hindus and Christians in Pakistan. So So from a human rights perspective, I doubt very much anything is going to change. I would just say that if the terror attacks stop, you know, and there's some level of normalcy, that will be, you know, that itself will be a lot we could, you know, a lot to celebrate about, or at least, you know, to be thankful for.
So what we want to bottom out on is, as we end this episode, is the man who's gone from being tomboy to kind of Taliban. It's a huge U-turn. And we hope that out of all of this U-turn, irrespective of where his faith sits, it leads to the improvement of a group of people, a large populous neighbor of India. That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
Chalo, let's wrap this up. We've talked about this. And obviously, has Sidhu come back? That's the other thing. Or has Sidhu kind of changed
sides? Sidhu's come back. And, you know, Sidhu's, I mean, he's a guy who's, you know, he's doing his own thing. He's a canny operator. You know, he knows how to stay in the limelight. He'll survive this. And I think that, you know, I'm sure that there's an element of drama to this, boss, that, you know, he's gone. And because he's from the Congress now, you know, the sort of pro-BJP, the BJP itself, as well as the pro-BJP parties, are going to try and, you know, make some political capital of this. So the Congress will feel obligated to say, nahi jana chahiye tha, and he'll say, jana chahiye tha. So he's back and he's in good spirits. Yeah, he seems to be one of those jolly guys, you know, murdering away, dropping catches, but having a good time.
Chalo. Look, take care. We'll pick up on some other topic in the next episode. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.